Hey guys, my name is Bernie.
My name is Yasmin, and you're listening to the Fashion Fopa podcast.
This is the podcast where we have candid conversations with industry professionals about the fashion industry. It's a mouthful, I know.
You can find us on Instagram at the Fashion Fopa podcast, and individually
at King Bernie with two E's at the end,
and at Yasisaya on Instagram.
If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave us a review. And if you didn't know,
we're on YouTube as well now. So now that you do know, be sure to subscribe.
All of our information will be in the show notes, like always.
Once again, this is the Fashion Fopa podcast.
Let's get on with the episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. My name is Bernie.
And my name is Yasmin.
This is the podcast where we talk to industry professionals. We have candid conversations with them. This is actually our first guest episode of the season.
It is.
Very, very excited.
Yeah.
We have Benoit and Théo. Please.
Yes.
Introduce yourselves. Tell the people who you are.
Yes. Grace them with your online presence.
Love it. Yo, what's up? My name is Ben, founder of No Diploma Collective and Movement in Montreal.
I'm Théo. I also go by Théo2K when I DJ. I do videography for No Diploma, and I have a lot of other projects on the side.
Cool.
Was that a decent intro?
That was a good intro. That was like cute and simple. I feel like sometimes people
overtalk. We like to keep
but
it.
But that was it's like movement and collective. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, we like to call ourselves a movement because we, you know, we find ourselves bigger than just a clothing brand. You know, we do a lot more than that. So we do a lot of events, or we just, you know, have the whole community together. We're really driven by community as well. So for us, it's like very important to call ourselves more than just a clothing brand, you know?
And so for people who don't know your clothing brand, who have never heard of you before, what kind of clothes do you guys make? What's the aesthetic?
So it's a streetwear. I would say unisex by now because, most of our,
they're repping today.
Yeah, of course.
Have to.
Yeah, streetwear. Yeah. So we do like hoodies, t-shirts, caps, a variety of different garments.
We're getting into more complex stuff.
Yeah, like cutting sew. And
right now it's prototypes.
Okay. Yeah,
exactly.
Exciting. So why did you start No Diploma? How did it come about? And what did it look like before, and what does it look like now?
Well, the origin story of No Diploma is like I went to fashion school in LaSalle College. I studied there for around 2 years. I just knew at the beginning of this school journey that it wasn't going to be the way that I was going to learn everything. So eventually I went off to intern for different brands in the city, and I got to learn a lot more like on the fly and also like in the industry. And then eventually I started my own brand while I was in school. So like some days I would like be late to class because like I would have to go to like Post Canada. It would open at like 7 and class was at 7. So I was always like on my grind to like, you know, just do my thing and just kind of like learn on the fly, you know. So I feel like that was kind of like my way of learning. And then eventually after 2 years, I did a trip to Asia for a month, backpack solo. And I got to learn a lot about like being independent and just self-reliant on me and discovering myself. And that's when I decided to drop out and then start my own brand called No Diploma. Yeah. So that's the origin story.
Do you think that that trip kind of triggered you to want to create No Diploma?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It like changed my whole perspective on things, you know. And I felt like I was relying on a lot of people's judgment and, you know, on people's like just trying to like fulfill other people's joy or happiness and on my own, you know. So when I went there alone, I got to really sit with me and myself, my thoughts, my aspirations for life, and that's where I kind of discovered my inner compass, you know, to really, you know, drive to what I want to do. So
inner compass, I'm gonna start using that,
right?
You know,
I like that.
It's a bar. I told you we're gonna come with a lot of bars today. So
Ben LaRue. Ben LaRue.
Hey, Zen Ben.
Zen.
That's a good one.
So that being said, now that we know the origin story, so what was the what would you say is like the inspiration behind the brand, and how do you guys feel like you remain consistent with it now throughout the branding of the company?
I think like starting off, I just remember chilling a lot in like different coffee shops and seeing a lot of like people wear different academia merchandise, whether it's like representing their school, representing like their class that they're in. So I feel like I got really inspired by the school language of things, design language. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to apply that to the brand in an ironic way. Like, hey, what about us? Like, what's the school we could represent ourselves with if we didn't go to school? So I wanted to kind of create some sort of language that people could already relate to, mm-hmm. and then just make it very ironic in a pleasant way, you know? So for people to understand on a universal level as well. And the way that we keep it consistent is just having, you know, a great team of individuals who, you know, strive to be better and just to always, you know, like Teo, for example, like he discovered the brand. He was like, he was our first customer, like literally our first customer.
Like
third maybe. But like every drop we did, and like we're having like, I don't know, a few people buy our things. Like when we started, it wasn't, it was just like friends and family. So as soon as I got like a random kid like Teo, like buy into the brand, it was like, for me, that was like, oh my God, that's crazy. And like to see his kind of like energy towards No Diploma and stuff like that, it inspires us too, because everyone kind of came together. Like you attract the community, you know, mm-hmm. that you attract your tribe, you know, when you put out your work. So I feel like Teo was one of those guys, and he just, you know, ended up working with a brand.
Like, right. So how did you go from customer to now part of the team?
It was like, if No Diploma had like 100 fans, I was the first one. If they had 10, I was the first one.
Facts.
And they
if
had
they
zero
had one fan, it was me. And facts. If they had zero, I was dead. So basically,
facts.
I don't know. I studied film production in Cégep at Champlain College.
Okay.
And basically, I had a project in a class that was called the documentary filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
And the end project was like, oh, you need to shoot a documentary on something or someone that like inspires you and you find interesting. And you have to apply like documentary techniques to it. So I was like, well, what I'm really into right now is No Diploma. So what I did was I hit up Ben and I was like, yo, can I like film you for like a documentary? And like, he said, okay, sure, but like you're gonna have to like also come and film this BTS for us, which was like the, I don't know if you've seen it, like the skate park shoot from the Rugbys. It was like way back, it was
2020. Yeah, I remember that.
Fall 2020.
Yeah.
I shot the BTS for that because in exchange he would let me like interview him for the documentary.
Ben already had you working from day one.
Yeah.
And then like I think that same night or like the next day I went to like his apartment and like we shot it. And then I followed him around. We went to like the where we get like all our fabric.
Mm-hmm.
Fabric done, like embroidery, all that. I filmed some of that, filmed some packaging, helped him with the packaging, and I just ended up sticking around after that.
So it's like the most unconventional story, but it's a very like organic way of starting.
Yeah, exactly.
Good job.
Yeah,
I like that though.
Mm-hmm.
But what made you stay?
Yeah,
because like it's one thing to start with a brand, because I feel like sometimes when you start with a brand that you've admire and you work with them so closely, you kind of get a different image from what you thought as a consumer versus like what they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that question was kind of shitty. What did you say?
No, that was good.
I feel like Ben was already like pretty transparent about certain things of the brand before I got involved. So I feel like it didn't come as a surprise to me. For example, when I found out that he ran it from his apartment, like he used to say it in like lives and stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's just, he's like a very like open person that you can talk to and like actually conversate with, feel like you're not like a subordinate or something.
Right.
You know? And that's the thing too, like, these days when we all work together, it's not like Ben's the owner, we're just helping him. It's like,
yeah, there's no hierarchy.
We're all the owner.
Yeah.
You know, he just happens to have created it.
Yeah.
But we all have like our equal part of like
building the brand.
That's important.
Yeah. And I think it kind of brings a sense of pride too, because you feel so invested in the brand as much as he is, as opposed to being like, chipping in because you have to or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Like you feel like an obligation, so it doesn't feel like work.
And also, he gave me free shit. So.
But I think it's also because, like, we put ourselves first before the brand.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's, like, a huge part of it is, like, we work on ourselves a lot as a unit and as a collective, mm-hmm. like, outside of, like, the whole work stuff. Like, we'll go on hikes. We'll do, like, just did a cold plunge.
Yeah,
we'll
I do saw some that. Like, that like, was very ballsy. I was like, oh, my gosh.
But, like, so many different things. Like, we meet every Wednesday. We do, like, swim nights. We do, like, sauna. We do, like, just a bunch of, like, different activities that mm-hmm. kind of help us reflect on life. Where do we want to go? And where do we want to take our goals?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I think that's where it starts. Yeah.
So you guys obviously talk about community a lot in mm-hmm. just the language that you use when I speak to you personally and even throughout the branding. Define community and why is it so important for you?
Damn.
Personally, but also as a brand.
Yeah.
Do you want to step on that?
Why? Is it too hard?
No. let me think of a good bar.
Well, I guess to us.
Let me think of a good bar.
To us, community is just like...
It's unity.
What the fuck? To us, community is an ensemble of, like, people that just follow a certain idea or, like, believe in a certain, like, cause, product.
Purpose. A representation of a values. A
community can also believe in another community. You know, it's mm-hmm. like, it's just, a community is a group of people that share the same interest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to us, well, our community just seems to share an interest in No Diploma, but also in just bettering themselves in multiple ways, learning unconventionally, teaching unconventionally. You know, we've had workshops, we've had like so many things where we just share information, spread knowledge, and I feel like our community has a taste for that,
right?
You know,
mm-hmm.
so that's why we value our community so much, because our community could be just as involved when we do like a new drop and like, oh, hey, look at these new hoodies we dropped,
mm-hmm.
but they could also be just as involved when we like ask everyone to show up for a cold plunge,
you know? Yeah.
So that's the thing, our community doesn't only care about like buying clothes.
Yeah.
Right? And it's not what we're about. We make the clothes because we think they're cool. We put time, effort, like a lot of our minds into it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a result of all these other things that we've explored.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the themes too on like what we create too. You know, it's like it's the idea. It's like knowledge itself. It's like we're preaching a message. We're preaching a purpose mm-hmm. with what we do. So
our next collection is based around ice because we did a cold plunge.
Yeah, we're kidding. He's joking.
But no, yeah, like when we did the outdoor goods, that was like summer.
Yeah, it was summer. Like right after COVID, so it's like
okay.
No, it was this summer.
Oh yeah. Well yeah.
Yeah, like, and like the whole shoot was like in the forest, and then like we had a pop up. The whole installation was like with.
Like, yeah, that's the thing. If you come to a No Diploma pop up. Don't expect just like clothes on a rack. It's like you're going in for an experience, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I went to one.
Yeah, I did.
Which one did you guys go to?
I went like, okay.
The Contraband one?
Or the outdoor one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That was like.
The park when we met for the first time. I mean,
that's true.
Met in real life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I purposely went like at the end because I was like, ugh. I was like in a phase. I was in a phase where I didn't want to be around people, but I was like.
Right.
I wanted to like at least network. Go and. Like see what the brand looks like.
Uh-huh. We showed up
like, physically, you know, because like that's also been little parenthèse.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One of my biggest goal this year, and that's why I admire No Diploma so much too, is like I want to consume art in a more physical way.
Mm-hmm.
So not just listen to music with like my earphones, like actually go to a store and buy a record and like have that and take photos and like printing them and all those things, like instead of just it being all digital,
because a
like,
tangible experience.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what we want to like create, a tangible experience.
Exactly.
And everyone has their own like tangible experience. Like to me, art could be just going to the store buying a smoothie, and that smoothie's art because I love it so much.
Yeah.
But to you, it's like going buying a record, you know. Yeah. And we just want to like kind of unite that idea.
Yeah.
I always say that like art is an experience, like mm-hmm. that's
exactly,
really what art is, and we have different experiences with the art that we consume. So I could create something and I have my own experience with it, but someone else who's experiencing whatever they're experiencing through my art is having a whole different experience, and that's their own thing. Mm-hmm. So I guess like that's also part of the discussion around community that we're having.
And I'd say honestly, like probably building community is one of your biggest strengths, and I feel like you guys would agree. But to bounce off of that, way, like, what are other things that you feel like are your strengths and in your business with the branding as well? Like, what are some other strengths besides building community that you feel like you've been able to?
Graphic language, bro.
Yeah, and that's graphic language. Yeah. That's this guy responsible for that. She wants
to get up a little bit. just pop on camera for like.
But yeah, this guy behind the cam,
Loso Type,
Loso _ Type. Yeah, check him out. He's responsible for the design language and research. So I feel like, and amongst other things as well. But I just want to, yeah, I think that's like one of our definitely strongest things that we're really proud of too, is like just, Loso's just the kind of guy that just digs a lot, like beyond the surface. And I feel like.
I love how we're all looking at him.
And yeah.
He's so unbothered.
Well, he's digging.
He's digging right now. Like, you know, but he'll pull like different things, different archives. And you're just like, whoa, what? Like, yeah. We'll just be like brainstorming ideas or like concepts. And then he won't talk to us for like 2 days. He'll come back and like just show us like a whole thing. We're like, yep. Oh my God, this is exactly what we're trying to get, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, I feel like in the last year, 2 years, like the design language and world that we're building, because it's important, right? It's like, yeah, you're building a community, you're building a brand, but it's also like the experience we're talking about, those textures of designs, the language, everything that goes, the packaging, everything that goes with that is what enhances the whole, you know, No Diploma movement.
Like you can see the evolution.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And same thing with like Nelson. There's like all the little characters.
Yeah, we have Nelson from one of our
Chile.
Illustrators from Chile.
Oh, wow.
Who does like all the like No Diploma records.
He does like the little characters.
Characters, yeah. Flago. Right.
Flago, yeah.
Yeah. And content too. I think our content game is like I don't even want to like, our content game is crazy. Like, we have content for the next, like, 3-4 months that we just don't even, like, our consistency with content. Yeah. And that's a shout out to Teo Omri from Jerusalem, who does, like, all the editing and a lot of other stuff, too. But, yeah, our BTS, like, our whole, like, content team is on point.
Yeah.
Shout out the team real quick, because we haven't mentioned, like...
Okay, yeah.
Who's on the team? Who's on the team?
What do they do?
Okay,
what do they eat for breakfast?
Yeah.
Okay, so we got
score.
Danseo, we got Loso, we got James, who's also who works on the design part
James
of things.
James is the everything man.
Like, yeah, assists us on like everything, and also works a lot on like cut and sew department.
Mm-hmm.
Aldo, as you guys know as well,
yes,
creative director, photographer, and just overall creative. Abyaz, who helps a lot on the logistics side of things as well, that you guys that you know as well.
We used to work together.
Yeah. And Omri. And then apart from that, like we have like a couple freelancers that helps us, like Birdie.
Adam.
Adam. Anj. Yeah, Anj. Yeah.
Cool. And that's so a like, full Nick. Team.
Nick.
This is,
oh my God.
Yeah, this is a very full team of people.
Yeah.
And a few of them are not based in Montreal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that's the beauty of it too. It's like when you're nurturing a community, it's like outside of the city. So it's like you're working with people who believe in the vision and the purpose. And like we could still work with people on like Omri's like what, 12-hour difference or something? Mm. And we're like, yeah. So
he's always like, call me and it's the morning for me and it's like evening for him.
You know? It's crazy.
So
yeah,
we gotta make it work. Sometimes he stays up super late just to like talk to us when we're available.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
It's crazy.
And he came down for the first time in Canada
this
for the pop up this summer. Aww. All the way from Jerusalem. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So that's what like, and he discovered us through YouTube video.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And that's how he like started working with the brand and So
that's nuts.
It's pretty wild.
Damn.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be like, cue my boy.
Au revoir.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm not even sure which other question I
want to. There's too many bars right now. I'm sorry.
No, it's allowed.
We're really going in.
Okay. Actually, I kind of want to get into this one because you did mention the pandemic earlier within one of the pop-ups you guys were talking about. But with the pandemic and the change in consumer habits, how do you guys feel like you've had to adapt your branding with to respond to like all the needs of the community that you've already built?
That was a crazy obviously crazy thing for everyone, but like I remember we were in Toronto when the pandemic hit, and like I got back home with Aldo and we're like, yo, what do we do? Because like, you know, the whole world is shut down.
Yeah.
And we decided to take it online because everyone was going online. Everyone was on their phones. Right. So we quickly adapted and started our own Instagram live discussion podcast, as you could say.
Yeah.
And that's why we started reaching out to different big creators like Kid Super.
Yeah.
We had... Who else did we have? Yasmin from Culture Machine.
I was a viewer back then.
I remember Aldo talking to me about Kid Super when we were working
together. Yeah, and that's crazy now because he just got announced today to do the Louis Vuitton. He's designing a menswear for a collection for
that.
Louis Vuitton,
I saw that.
Which is wild. But like, we had so many like guests in that little short period of time during the summer that we built. And like, we built our following like at least by like, I don't know how many, probably like 3,000-4,000 followers in like a span of like 2-3 months.
That's
of
crazy.
Just doing like interviews back to back. Like, we're not sleeping. Like, every day we'd prep for like an interview. We'd be like DMing like over 100 different people, and like, we knew they were at home like already. So like, mm-hmm. that's how we got the chance to like hit some big names, because mm-hmm. they're just, you know.
Drop the names. Who are the names?
I'm trying to remember right now. Miss Gandhi, who like shot for like Kim. He shot the Brockhampton album cover.
Ooh.
And he was like, he probably had like 20k back then. Now he has like, I don't know, he like blew up. But there's a lot of these creators that like we were into already, and mm-hmm. like, I feel like that's another thing, strong point that we have, is our taste, like our taste in like what's hot, what's coming.
Say that again.
Like, if I did not do what I'm doing today, I would probably be like, I always say I would probably be like an A&R of some sort, because I just love discovering, you know, music and art. But anyways, that whole segment of us adjusting is like, it just proof of like what we could do in like those times, and just kind of like pivoting to, you know, just improve everything. So
That's actually how I discovered you guys, because
no way, that's crazy.
Yeah, I think you did like, I think it was during Black History Month, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. You did like this thing.
Yeah.
And local artists from Ottawa reached out to me and was asking me to help him with his segment with you guys. Lance.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. Shout out Lance. Yeah.
And then he was like, yeah, like, I'm doing this thing with this brand, da da da. And I kind of looked at the brand, and like, she knows me, I'm super picky.
She's very
like who I work with, at least now, but even before then, and even if it was like not me help like directly helping you guys, it was important for me to like look at what's going on, you know,
and
before being
like
yeah,
you know,
into it.
It's the taste.
And I was genuinely so impressed because I realized that like what you guys are doing is what a lot of brands that I've come across, like smaller brands who are starting out, are lacking of. Like the branding, the consistency. And I know it's hard obviously to be consistent, but I think like even beside the consistency, you guys have such a specific branding language. And I feel like after seeing that, I was like, I need to make sure that like me, Bernie, as a brand or an artist, needs to be like as clear. Like when people see something, I want people to be like, oh my god, that reminds me of Bernie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
the same way that if we were to see something now, like of your guys's like clothing brand, or even just like the way a photo is taken or whatever, it's okay, that's like,
yeah, that's, you know, like there. I feel like I could listen to an artist now because I know your brand so well, I could be like, oh, this artist, like they could do a collab with No Diploma in some sort of capacity, because that branding is so clear.
Yeah,
you know.
Right.
So that's actually how I discovered you guys.
Damn, that's cool.
And
yeah, my discovery story is a little different than yours.
How did you?
I actually discovered you guys in school while I was at LaSalle. This was I discovered you in 2018, but I had started the school in 2017. But it was through my very good friend and roommate at the time, Lisa. She would walk around school with a cap that you had given her at the time, I think, or that she had gotten from the brand.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, and then had the logo on it. Now she would talk about it so often. She was like free promo, like throughout school constantly about it.
Yeah,
and then one of our professors was also talking about you guys as well, because I think that's when she had started calling you guys in for to speak in the job test class.
Lucy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Or no, Yolande. The teacher.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I know which professor you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. Wow.
But yeah, even then, like, I've worked on social media and helping other brands do other brands do branding, and like
when I do my research, like, you guys are always being mentioned. Like, mm-hmm. look at how they're branding, yeah. and how can we emulate that?
Yeah. Mm, thank you.
I think that's super important. And I guess, like, another question I'd love to know is, how did you even find your branding identity? Because I feel like it's really hard.
It's very hard.
And even myself, like, especially with styling, I think I struggle so much with finding, like, my aesthetic as a stylist.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, I didn't think it was important, or I didn't think that stylists had an aesthetic, because you're styling for other people, you know? But then I realized the more I was looking at other people's work, like, they had a specific, like, language or voice within, like, how they go about their styling. I feel right. like now I'm starting to have that, like, language. But how did you go about that process?
Yeah, it's a really good question, because I feel like,
I know, right?
I feel like a lot of people associate brands with logos sometimes too.
Mm.
And I feel like a brand is so much bigger than a logo.
Yeah,
it's a DNA. It's a representation of, yeah, let that sit. Let that sit. it's a representation of feelings, of values, of, you know, there's so much more than just a logo. Mm-hmm. It's you're really, like, building a world, mm-hmm. you know? And I feel like we're just learning all the time. A brand always evolves too, you know, yeah. with time, and, like, you know, yourself, you evolve too. So the brand evolves with everything that you do. And I just find that it's just important to, like, distinguish that. Like, if you think of, like, Nike, you know, like, you look at their ads,
that's very true.
And it's like, it makes you feel like you want to be an athlete, you want to be the best, you want to be great.
Yeah, right.
That's that feeling. That's a brand. Mm-hmm. It's giving you this feeling, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like the logo. Of course, we're, you know, we know what the Nike logo looks like
yeah.
now, but, like, you look back at, like, their first ads, like, that's how they really, like, they're selling you that feeling, that
yeah.
like
yeah,
that greatness,
a story.
Yeah, they're so selling you an experience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's a brand, mm-hmm. you know.
Same way, mm-hmm. like Red Bull says, like, Red Bull gives you wings.
But it's mm-hmm. like, look at what Red Bull does. They're, like, you know, associating themselves with different subcultures, like dance,
mm-hmm.
like extreme sports. And it's like, they're putting these people as the face of the brand, and
mm-hmm.
they're like really selling you the experience. It's
mm-hmm.
not about the drink, but then you associate those experiences
with the drink.
With the, oh, gives you rings, you know?
Right.
So
gives you rings.
Gives you rings, wings, whatever. but yeah, all that to say is, like, I feel like there's a lot more depth than just, like, finding your aesthetic or your typography or your, like, color palette, you know?
Mm.
Like, that's a part of it, but there's a lot more
yeah.
to it, you know? Yeah.
So what would you say are some of the biggest pillars apart from community in your branding?
Mm.
I'm asking you some good questions.
These
today.
Are good. Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
Do you want to? I just talked.
Shit. That caught me off guard.
Yeah, me too.
I'm usually always, like, ready, but, like,
I guess, like, just pillars. Okay. It's like working on self and, like.
Omri.
Oh. What? You just got me on guard.
shit.
Can we come back to that one?
Yeah,
that's
I,
really,
can
yeah, yeah me.
I mean,
yeah.
I guess I could touch on another question that I just
yeah,
saw
sure.
here, but we have obviously noticed a lot of emphasis on mental health, spirituality,
mm-hmm.
and healing through the branding. So talk to us a bit about that. Like, why is it important for you? Why did it get started in the first place?
Mm.
Yeah.
I think I brought up a point earlier where it's like, we always work on ourselves before
mm-hmm.
working on the brand. It's
mm-hmm.
like, whether it's like different activities or things that we do together, we do a lot of like breath work training or meditation, stuff like that.
I remember that.
Yeah.
yeah. And then we do that.
The pop up.
And I know I remember them doing lives, like you guys doing lives, like yogas and like
yeah,
meditation.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that.
It's just a part of our life's style, you know,
mm-hmm.
of like doing that. And it's like, for me, it's like carrying that throughout the brand is really important too, because it just adds, you know, more of a message and purpose to it. And like,
mm-hmm.
we do it in a cool way where it's digestible enough, where it's not too, like, too preachy, too spiritual,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, we're just allowing you to kind of experience these things with us while we're doing it, you know?
Mm.
And
it's not too woo woo, as I say.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And like, there's, you know, there's times for that, or there's different ways people, you know, could approach that. But it's
yeah.
just like, for us, we want it to be an experience for people to kind of like, just for people that are new to it and just want to get into like different practices that
yeah.
maybe help their mental health, or that just help their like way of being, or just like,
mm-hmm.
you know, being more mindful, things
mm-hmm.
like that. 'Cause it's like, those are the things that like beyond just your work, beyond what you do. It's like you need mental stability, you know, you need spiritual currency. Yeah. You know? Oof. That's it.
Damn. You're gonna leave with
say that again.
Bars, you're gonna leave with
spiritual
captions, you're gonna leave with stuff to put on your stories after this.
Yeah.
I told you it's about to get hot in here.
It's about that time.
It was a hot box already. God damn.
Yeah, spiritual currency, shout out the guy Brandon from Toronto. He told me that. But yeah, it's just important to like work on all aspects of life, you know? To just make yourself a better person and strive in your work, because it starts with you before you do the work. You know, you could be creative, you could do all that, but like, what kind of person are you?
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, if I go to like, I don't really judge a person. Like, yeah, you could have amazing art, you could be an amazing creative, but like, what kind of person are you? Like, you know,
separating the art from the artist.
Yeah, it's like I want to like, yeah. So I feel like it's just a constant practice of bettering you. You know, so.
But I think it's one of those things too. Like we had this conversation I think a few days ago. Mm-hmm. I always say that creating art is like a spiritual experience, right? Mm. And I feel like when you're consuming art, and it might resonate with you, but when you're getting to a different level of like your spirituality or your understanding of love and art and knowledge of like life or whatever, some of these things that you were consuming, like, they're not going to resonate. They're not going to make sense. So I think it's like, maybe I used to listen to like artist A and that person was talking about whatever. And then now that I'm in a different level of spirituality, it's like, that's not really speaking to me.
Yeah.
So I think it's more so of a thing of like, what's speaking to you. Cause I remember like having this conversation with someone, actually they asked me like, if I believed in God. And I was like, I feel like the question should be like, how do I experience God? Because I think everyone believes in a God in some sort of way,
or believes in a higher power that they can in some sort call of way, God, right? Or something different.
So I think like all of these conversations about art and whatever, they're kind of like pointless if we don't talk about the spiritual of it all, right?
Yeah.
Because even like
facts,
where you create art, it comes from your
higher
root
source.
It comes from your root chakra. It comes from right here. Hey, so you gotta be aligned.
If you're not aligned, you can't be drawn through the lines. I tried my best. I knew at least it was gonna get you cackled.
She's been on fire lately. She's been cracking me up. I'm usually the funny one, but lately.
I'm usually the funny one. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
but no, I agree. I agree with what you're saying. It's, it's deeper than that.
No, but I think you guys do a really great job at like translating that through your branding and then even through yourselves too. Like I've met obviously like quite a few of you individually now, like at different times, like Loso, myself, Aldo, Abias, we all worked together at some point. So like I got to experience them as individuals and like knowing within like a few days of working together that you guys were all part of this, I was okay. Now that I know you, it makes a lot of sense.
Right.
Them being a part of the brand.
Yeah. It's a whole equation, you know?
Yeah.
To like, yeah, everyone.
The pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a whole equation. Yeah. I'm going to start using your bars.
It's all good. Just give me credit.
Yeah, of course. One thing that you mentioned is being able to talk to or like work with big artists and big brands, whatever the case may be. How were you able to create credibility in this industry, especially knowing that it's such a saturated industry?
Yeah.
Oh man,
that's so
credibility as in like in what way?
In the sense that it's like I'm sure there's multiple brands reaching out to these people, you know, like why do you think they see your message and whatever you're doing and they're like, I want to work with them? Like I feel like, you know,
I think
well, first step, we all like meet. Hey, what do we say to this person? How do we pitch it?
How do you approach?
Exactly, and often it's Ben has an idea.
Mm.
I'm sitting down. Abias is sitting down. Somebody's sitting down, and we do the writing. And we like fill in all the blanks, like make it look nice. Or sometimes it's weird, but. For example, like, well, can I talk about this stuff? Like, how we got the Khaled and stuff?
Yeah, well, a lot of the things is like is organic.
It's through people.
Through
like,
yeah,
just, it's just right. like
word of mouth. Connections. Right. Yeah. Because I feel like, well, not connections, because I feel like a lot of people play the like the handout game where it's like, oh, I have this guy in the industry that does this, and then they like,
yeah, I know
you pay that. You pay someone to yeah. like put it on their back and stuff like that. Right. Like we've never done any of that because we just don't have those connections. We just yeah. don't have
right.
that resource. We don't have, you know, those relationships. So yeah. for us, it's like really like just. It's just weird. Everything's just been organic. Like mm. nothing's been forced on like, oh, we need this guy to wear this. It's like, we'll just stumble on like someone that works with this artist, maybe as a photographer, videographer that's we've been in touch with. And mm. somehow they ended up like on tour with that artist. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hey, yo, they love your sweatsuit. Like they want a piece. And it's like, okay. So it's like, it's always been like organic. Yeah. Sometimes we'll like reach out if there's like an artist that we're really into and they could be like on a really small scale and we're like, we've been listening to them on campus. We're like listening to their music. Mm. And we're like, yo, that guy would like represent the brand really well because of his story and stuff like that. Cause you don't want to like push product on people that doesn't represent like who they are,
right, yeah.
you know? Cause you know, when like rappers are styled by a stylist and it's not even their style, like it just looks really bad. Yeah, and it's just like, yeah. you know, it's not authentic, you know? So I feel yeah. like we kind of follow that authentic route where it's like, there might be some people we're really into. We're like, ah, but it doesn't really fit the style of No Diploma.
Right,
so we
yeah.
wouldn't like reach out, you know?
Like Khaled made perfect sense.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And
he's very mindful and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's cool because, you know, Khaled was a process, you know, for a long time.
Yeah.
It's cool because yeah. like there's still... Who knows? Like, there's some people that we reached out to, like, way back then that in, like, 2 years will end up, like, wearing our stuff somehow.
Right, maybe earlier.
Maybe yeah, earlier. Exactly. Who knows? Exactly.
And but, yeah, there's a video of that, too, where it's, like, recently.
We never force it.
Yeah. Yeah. Where it's, like, a text from, like, or a DM to Khaled in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, 5 years later ends up on him, on his back, you know? But it's, mm-hmm. like, I didn't plan or, like, he never saw the DM. But yeah. it just ended up on there, you know, and that, mm-hmm. that goes to a lot of like, you know, manifestation and things like that, yep. you know, but like,
all about that woo shit.
No, but it just goes to, you know, just putting the energy out there. And then like, yeah. it may take 2 years, may take three, may take five, may take a week. Like you don't even know,
yeah.
but just somehow things just kind of flow.
Yeah.
Those ways sometimes. And there's
been other people besides that too. You guys have worked with CK recently as well.
Yeah, we did. And again, that
Ooh.
That is not even intended, you know? Like those are, again, just connections leading us to that and then that being, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's also like, it just is a testament to the branding and also the community that you guys are building, because it's like, I could talk about the brand, like I
mm-hmm.
know the brand, like
mm-hmm.
come... like the back of my head.
Oh yeah.
I was like, whoa,
what you mean?
flipping something? What's going on?
But it's honestly, it's just cool to see like for example, like how Omri discovered the brand was through Peter McKinnon. I don't know if you guys know who he is. He's like a big video editor on YouTube.
Okay.
I don't know.
Video editor, videographer, photographer.
Exactly.
Aldo's content talked to me about him before.
I never even knew who this guy was.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
But he ordered stuff from us and he ended up wearing it on YouTube in a video. It had like 500K views. And I got to work the next day and like, cause I used to work in like production.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone was like, hey, I saw your hoodie on this guy. And I was like, who's that? And I look and it's like, oh my God, it's like 500K. That's crazy. Like, who's this guy? And he has like millions of followers. But that's someone genuinely that just connected with the brand, the message,
mm-hmm.
and just bought something.
Right.
And wore it. So it's like, it's a bunch of those examples where it's like, I don't know if it's like luck or maybe it's just like we're doing, you know, we're obviously doing something right. I'm not giving myself the credit, but.
Can you talk to us about the New York trip? Like, why did you guys go to New York?
Yeah.
How did it happen?
Damn.
All that.
go check out our YouTube vlog, New York. We're almost hitting 1,000.
Yep.
I know it's not a lot, but like for us, it is. Because we've been dropping vlogs like probably like once a year, but now we're gonna be a lot more consistent because we find it's called the journey. So mm-hmm. like we just want to document the journey and just showcase people like the process to what it takes to where we go. And like mm-hmm. for us, it's like an archive, you know, like we could look back like 5 years from now and just be like, yo, we did that. Like it's more for ourselves first and then mm-hmm. people want to look at it And yeah, that was a really special moment for us because it was the first time that we were expanding the brand outside of Canada. Mm-hmm. And just taking that trip was like, you know, based off like, we look at analytics a lot of times, like look at our website and like, where are, you know, the fans of No Diploma, where are they located? And like New York was a big city, you know, so we had a good community there. So we just wanted to go there. And it just makes sense. Like you think of New York, you think of the history of like streetwear, art, everything. And like, I haven't been there in like 10 years. I don't even know if like, I think it was James's first time in New York. Aldo just went for the first time like two weeks before that. Before. So yeah, it was just kind of like a good experience of a trip. And
yeah,
you could talk about it too if you want to step in.
You know, I didn't have a good experience.
Yeah, he didn't. Well, for Teo, it was just very overwhelming as a city. It's very fast paced, very like hectic.
Really sick, dude.
And he was sick too. So for him to kind of like follow us around and video a lot of times, it was challenging.
Heavy camera, and then like I was sick, so like, you know, like I didn't have as much energy. Mm-hmm. But like we were walking around, like, you know, everywhere, moving all the time. We ate when we could, you know, because like sometimes we had like a lot of things on our plate. So like me, it fucked me up. And also like New York, like the air is bad. Like,
it's
I don't think I would have been because we've been talking about
going to New York Fashion Week next year.
Oh, weird. Nice.
This year,
right? Sorry, September. I forget, we're in 2023 now, but yeah, in September. And I do think that it's kind of like you had mentioned to me already, like you would really only go to certain places specifically for work.
Yeah,
and
absolutely. New York is one of those places I would never go, like, just to chill in New York. No,
well, to yeah, I mean, because the more that I think about it, the more I'm like, yeah, for you would have to be a work thing, because I feel like you would get very overstimulated after like a couple days.
There you go. That was me, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Overstimulated, but don't get us wrong, or don't get me wrong, but I actually, like, I think that New York trip is what really, like, boosted us. Like, it made us, like, realize that we need to, like,
go big or go
get home on this shit, you know?
Yeah. And it's just a whole other level, you know? Like, it just makes you realize, you know, how bigger the world is.
Oh, it's an insane city.
It's like, as soon as you just stay in this little city like Montreal and you don't realize what's outside of it, and as soon as you step out and you see things, you're like, oh my god, it's crazy.
Yeah,
so,
I like Brooklyn. That felt good.
Yeah, Brooklyn was nice.
I think you'd like Brooklyn.
Maybe. I think you gotta chill and like Dumbo. Instead of going to like Manhattan and all that stuff, like those neighborhoods, like, you know, where we went,
that was so, like, relaxing. It was like a sunny day.
I would not put her in Manhattan for like 2-3 days. I think
Soho, like, it's cool to see, but like if you want to chill, like you go outside of
Brooklyn,
you
know, for sure.
Because I think the thing with me is like, if I'm on work mode, I'm gonna put the overstimulation aside because I got a job to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I could not just go on the vacation there. Like, I feel like even Paris would be like, no.
Yeah, because we talked about Paris Fashion Week too, but
but at least Paris, you can go to, like, you know,
you can sightsee. There's
things to do. There's more space.
You mentioned the campus.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Talk about it.
Okay. So this is your time to shine. You're about to do some crazy promo right here.
Okay. Yeah. Is it?
Yes.
You
ready, bro?
Yeah. Sure. Campus is basically our shop, our office, where everything happens. You know, like Teo mentioned earlier, I've been in my one bedroom apartment for the last like 4 years, and this year was kind of like we gave ourselves the goal to, like, well, last year 2022 gave ourselves the goal, like, yo, we need to get our own office space where we could all collectively come together. It's a little awkward back in my space because it's like there's boxes everywhere, like my kitchen is there, we're all in like that one couch, the one table, and we're just trying to like make things happen. So we just knew we had to expand and just get a bigger space, and also allowing customers to come see us, because I would have to go to like metro stations, meet people, like shake their hands, give the bags. Like, that was cool. That was part of the journey. But it just got to a point where we're like, yo, let's, like, you know, take this to the next level. So campus now is located at 2065 Rue Parthenay, suite 413A.
What's the nearest metro station for
people? Nearest metro station is Metro Frontenac. It's like a 10-minute walk, but it's worth it. You're going to come in. There's knowledge. There's a lot of cool creatives. We have a whole library now as well. We have a TV.
Oh, did we see that last time? No, no, we didn't.
This guy's like, yo, we got a TV.
He's manifesting it.
PlayStation 3.
Yeah, we got a PS3. No, but it's really cool because we finally facilitated a space where you can come in, try some clothes, And eventually we wanted to really utilize the space as like a place where we do events, like small little events, workshops. And yeah.
So we're getting a couch soon.
Man. Yeah, we're getting a couch
soon. That's exciting.
Three-seater.
That's exciting, yeah. We've been to the campus, so you guys should definitely go.
That's cute.
It's very cute.
You guys came like early. Yeah. But now there's a lot of change. We gotta come back. You guys have to come back.
Have you seen the TV? Yeah.
No. We have not seen the TV. We saw the cute carpet at the front.
Okay.
We saw the little table setup.
Yeah. She did a nice little documentation.
The big table where y'all set yourselves up.
A lot has evolved.
Yeah. A lot has changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they painted the floor.
Yeah, we painted the floor.
What color?
Same color, but just like painted clean. But it's been a really nice project to kind of like all together work together to like bring this place to life, you know? Because it was very grungy when we got in there. Like,
man, I sanded the fuck out the walls.
Yeah, we sanded the walls. We repainted everything. Yeah.
Let's revisit my question from earlier. If you guys want to answer that. What are some of the pillars for the branding apart from community?
Mm-hmm. Did you hear that? My stomach, girl.
Damn.
Oh. Want to step in?
Dude, I'm still lost from that question.
I think it's. Do you have another synonym for pillar? I think pillar is messing up with my.
No, pillar is like important aspects that like really without these things you could not have the No Diploma branding.
Okay, yeah.
That's what a pillar is, but like I'm trying to think of things because there's so many, right?
Yeah, there's just so many. You know, it's hard to like name five when you have like 20.
Yeah, I mean, this has to be five.
Yeah, it could be like just one that you can think of at the top of your head right now, other than branding.
What?
Other than community.
Oh, sorry. Other than community.
Okay, here. I think this is what's messing us up. You said, what are the pillars behind the branding?
I was saying, what are some of the pillars that you guys have within your branding, apart from community?
Mm-hmm. Within our branding or something that is a pillar to the brand's general area of operations?
What do you feel like your question is?
Because I feel like when you say branding is stuff that people only can see.
Right. Okay. Right? Oh, I see what you're saying.
That's what I mean.
But I guess my question is more so like from your perspective, because I can say like obviously community.
Yeah.
Obviously,
we could name
health.
Things that we see
like, that's just,
from
that's
an
just
outside.
How, yeah, exactly. That's just what I see from a customer.
But according to you, as a founder's perspective, what do you feel like are other pillars besides community?
Pillars. I have one. I would say taste. Taste is a big one. You know, like. Know this, whatever. You see a lot of brands these days. It's like, oh, spiderwebs. Oh, like, rhinestones. I swear to God. Like,
oh, you're talking about design elements.
The design elements. Oh, it's okay. The spiderwebs and stuff.
Lol.
They took that from Spiderwebs.
Yeah, I would say knowledge itself, for sure.
There you go.
Yeah. It's a collection, but it's also a part of, you know, who we are. How we roll.
Yeah, so, we're all very like self-aware.
Yeah.
About like a lot of things positively, sometimes negatively. When it's negatively, we all like hold each other up. So I guess that would be another pillar, like just mutual support. Like these guys, like I have DJ sets. It's also like something that I'm very passionate about, like DJing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they show up, you know, they come see me. He's come see me before.
Yeah.
You know, all that. And
I would say support. Mm-hmm. Yeah, support. Yeah, empowerment of individuals too. We just want to like empower people through the art, through the creations that we do, whether it's like, you know, the clothes, the collection, or the photo shoot, editorial, video, events that we do. It's like there's all of a purpose of like empowerment in there. Mm-hmm. That's like, yo, if you're stuck doing your things that you don't like doing, it's like hopefully you could see something that we did, and it's like, it's liberating for you to like want to strive for more, you know?
I feel like that's a good word to put it. Cause me, from an outside person looking in, I feel like one of the main things that you guys translate the best within your branding or as a pillar would be transparency, and also just making people feel seen because of the messaging that you decide to use and the language that you decide to use.
Also, we have very unconventional marketing strategies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was also going to say, like, connecting, because even, like, whenever I speak to you guys, like, even when we both went to the campus, like, I never feel like I'm being sold anything, you know?
Right, yeah,
And obviously, like, it's a business that needs to be making money, but it's, like, if I'm not buying something, then I know someone who's going to buy something, and I can vouch for you guys in that sense.
Well, that's the thing also, that I think that's a big debate that we had, like, hey, do we want to, like, really push like selling stuff or do we like stay true to us and like always prioritize engagement and like conversations before the product? And I guess that's what led to what we do now, which is we run a second thing called Pen and Paper, and through that that's kind of like a product in a way, where we like sell a service, which is like video production, consulting, all these things, but at the same time, it's not directly No Diploma.
Right.
It's like people will come to us for like the things that we've built for No Diploma. It's like is now also can it's also.
Empty. I thought there was water. I was about to panic. Oh my god.
Could also be a service, you know?
Yeah.
Of some sort. So yeah, that's our like our agency. That's called
cool.
Pen and Paper.
So what's next for No Diploma?
Yeah, talk to us about that.
What's next?
What can we expect?
What can we expect?
I hate that word. We need to stop using that word.
Yeah, the word expectation. Don't wish.
Skinny jeans?
Yeah. Skinny jeans and V-necks coming soon.
My God.
Very cool. We're bringing it back.
The you know? Jersey Shore core.
Yeah. Long t-shirt scoop.
Yeah, scoop tees.
Fedora.
You know, all that.
Snap.
What could you expect?
Not what we could expect, but just what's next in general that you feel comfortable sharing.
What's next is just us being creative and something's gonna come out of it.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. Okay. This whole energy we've been carrying in the last couple months, we're just, you know, hoping to continue that momentum into creating greater things, connecting with people, doing more events. I don't want to say too much, but traveling as well, I think is definitely on our calendar this year. Yeah. We definitely want to do a few more stops and really connect with people from the community outside the city as well.
What are some places that you would want to travel to?
Some places I would say definitely got to go back to New York.
Yeah.
Toronto has a lot of love for us. LA has been showing a lot of love. Atlanta as well. Virginia.
That's a lot of U.S., bro.
It's a lot of US, but I'm just saying Vancouver too.
It's showing great. A lot.
There you go, man.
Yeah.
So Vancouver's great.
Yeah, we'll see what we could do, you know? But I think that's on our minds, especially after COVID, you know.
Yeah.
We have more like space to travel now. So
So basically what's next is exactly what you guys are doing on a bigger scale.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Pretty much. Just more things that you're manifesting.
Expanding.
Expanding.
I like
evolving,
that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Forever evolving.
Well.
Ripening.
Ripening?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's new.
Damn. I haven't heard of that one in that kind of context. Or it could be blossoming, like a flower.
But blossoming is like that saying as if we were still at the beginning of a baby stage. Right now, we're just getting better.
It could be, I don't have a word, but I have like a sentence.
Mm.
Going through the cycle of life,
because
I think
depth.
Can't English.
Mm.
Death and life are kind of you need to die
intertwined.
Are you saying there's a death to No Diploma?
I'm not saying that.
No,
there could be. I'm saying that there could be like a death to what you guys are doing, like how you guys are doing things,
like
so that something else
of you
can be created.
Chapter
for sure.
Of the brand, and then something else comes into play after.
That's what I'm saying.
Well,
This
has been fun.
This
I've
cute.
Enjoyed this. This is very cute.
It's amazing.
First guest episode.
Yeah, this is exciting. Yeah, so where can we find you guys?
No Diploma_ on all platforms. TikTok, we're stepping up our TikTok game this year.
Period.
Instagram, Twitter, NoDiploma.ca to cop some threads.
On Rue Parthenay.
If you guys want to have physical experience, tangible experience, like we said earlier, come see us in person. We'd love to have a conversation with you and just, you know,
We get yelled at for burning incense.
Yeah, it's fine. You know?
That'll be the housewarming gift we bring exactly. Then we come back next is incense.
Yeah. So incense. TO2K on IG.
Mm-hmm. TO3O's 2K.
We're just playing, yeah.
Yeah. Benoit Brulé.
Yeah, Benoit Brulé.
Loso Type.
Yep.
Yeah.
Should we name all of them?
I was going to say, should we go
Nick
through
Aria
everybody's?
Drums.
We'll just put it in the
we'll
description.
We'll put all of y'all the links to their accounts and the individual. Mm.
The theme. Whoa.
Ooh.
Wow. This is crazy. The team.
The team's individual accounts as well in the show notes. And for us as well, you can find us at...
Kimberly with two E's at the end.
And you can find me at Yes Isaiah on Instagram.
And you can find the podcast at the Fashion Fopa Podcast.
And you can find our Fopa page at fopa.ca on Instagram as well.
I'd love to share just a message of gratitude. Thank you so much for considering us to be a guest on your podcast and allowing us to have a voice for your community as well. And we're really excited to be here. And we're manifesting more podcasts this year too. So, shout out to you guys. Thank you so much. And peace and love, love and light, as Loso would say.
We're so awkward now. Now we've heard this.
We've literally been talking about having you guys on the podcast since
for
season
a while one. Now. Yeah.
This was a sensation.
Yeah.
That said, my name is Bernie.
And my name is Yasmin.
This is the Fashion Fopa Podcast. Whoa. Where we talk to industry professionals about the fashion industry. We have candid conversations with them. With that said, love always.
And always love.
No diploma.
Peace and love, knowledge itself. Oh.
That concludes today's episode. We hope you've enjoyed it. Before you leave, make sure to follow or subscribe wherever you're listening to us.
Leave us a review if you're on Apple Podcasts.
And catch us in an instant at the Fashion Fopa Podcast on Instagram and individually.
At Kimberly with two E's at the end.
And at Yasisaya on Instagram.
Until next time, and remember, love always.
And always love.